treasure and a place of honor near the throne. It's not in vain, it's not in vain. We serve a risen Savior. Jesus rules and reigns. The heavens cheer us on. We do not walk alone. Our labor, our witness, our faith, it's not in vain. God has seen our faithful service through the years. All the heartaches, all the burdens, all the tears. But do not be discouraged. There's a purpose, there's a plan, there's a reason for each trial. So trust the leading of His hand. It's not in vain, it's not in vain. We serve a risen Savior. Jesus rules and reigns.
Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. All of you are checking your watch. I know. I saw you. I was in a church one time, and on the back wall they had a sign, and it said, "Remember Lot's wife." And people used to turn and look at the clock, and that was a good reminder to not focus too much on time. But we do have a reception afterwards, and we certainly want you to stay for that. And that's why we have services at 5 o'clock, so we can go till 9 or 10, but no, not really. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. Can we stand for just a moment as we read God's Word together? I'm very thankful for our graduates. I'm thankful for our alumni and for all of you. Tonight, God has a message for each of us here. I call it a graduate's advice. And if you have graduated from a high school, or if you have, or you're graduating this year, all of the advice that God gives to us in this passage is a perfect and very fitting advice to give to anyone as they graduate and move on in life. And I'm convinced that all of us have schools that God takes us through in life. And the goal is to graduate each of those schools. Because I certainly don't want to fail and have to start all over in school again. But unfortunately, many times that's what happens. We fail, God takes us back, and we start over. But here is a passage in which now God shows us that David has finished his life. And now he's giving his final address to prepare the nation for the beginning of a new era in Israel. Notice what he says. Verse number 1. And David assembled all the princes of Israel and princes of the tribes, the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, the captains over the thousands and the captains over the hundreds, the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his songs, or sons rather, with the officers and with mighty men, with all the valiant men into Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had it in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord. and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said to him, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he had chosen Judah to be ruler, to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And all of my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons. That's because you have many wives, David. He hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said to me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments, as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Thank you, and you may be seated. I was a bit shocked, and perhaps maybe some of you were, this past week, I think it was Tuesday, there was an article that came out that was written by the Pew Research Center. They did an intensive study on church patterns and church habits of people recently. And here's what it says. A new study from the Pew Research Center shows a sharp drop in the number of American Christians, from 78% of the population to 71% in 7 years, mainly because millennials are leaving the fold. Now, millennials are those, obviously, that are, you know, we were the baby boomers of the 90s and 21st century beginning. These are the baby boomers of our day. These are the 20-somethings. Just 56% of millennials consider themselves Christians. Meanwhile, religiously unaffiliated Americans, often called the nones, N-O-N-E-S, from nearly 23% of the population, a greater percentage than Catholics and mainline Protestants. Pew's study comes from a survey of 35,000 American adults and generally is considered one of the most accurate reflections of the country's religious landscape. Now, CNN reported this on May 12th. Now, let me say this. There's some credibility that I believe that CNN lacks. But at least they reported what they heard from the Pew Research. We are living in a time of secularization. This is not for us a time like David's time. There is no such thing as what we call cultural Christianity anymore. That's where that the country would be governed by religious behavior. And the decisions were made by religious behavior. And so everything was based on that. No longer do we have that in America. They didn't have it in the first century. When you lived in the first century, you had to pay the cost for being a follower of Jesus Christ. You had to be willing to die. And that's why when Jesus said, if a man follow me, let him take up his cross. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now David is calling this assembly of all the leaders of the nation. I imagine if it were possible to have been on satellite like we have today. And David called them all together, and David was passing down his lifetime of work, sweat, toil, and personal dedication to Solomon. But I want you to note something in the passage. David did not talk about the money that he had. He did not talk about the wives that he had. He did not talk about the palace that he himself had. He talked about the spiritual values that he wants to leave to Solomon. If there's any advice I can give you tonight, I want to give you three very quickly, and I promise it won't take long. These three requirements are necessary if we are going to keep serving God in the 21st century. I will tell you this, if the world had it and Satan had his way, he would close down Calvary Baptist Church. If Satan had his way, he would have you jailed because he already has the world believing that we're a bunch of lunatics because we actually believe the Bible is the Word of God. That we actually believe that what God says in His Word is so. That we believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. That we believe that God made all things. And that Jesus Christ was the perfect, sinless Son of God. And I'll be honest with you tonight. You know, we don't need more graduates to go out and spread that. We need more graduates to go out and spread the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's high time that the church stops capitulating to the government and to the media and to everybody else and playing up to them. It's time that we play up to Christ and live for Him. And graduates, my advice to you tonight is very clear. It's told you right there. Number one, to know the Lord. Know the Lord. The word know can be interpreted many ways. You can say there's recognition. For example, I have a recognition of certain people who are in the mainline media. I can recognize Bill Clinton. I can recognize movie stars. I can recognize people, but I don't know them. And let me tell you, there's a huge difference between a recognition and an intimate personal knowledge of those people. A huge difference. And David is saying to Solomon, Solomon, I don't want you to just know about God. I want you to know God. I want you to know Him intimately. That was my message this morning. Know Him. Know God. Know what God thinks and know what God feels and go to God and ask God to show you what it is that He wants you to know. You know, it's a strange thing, but in Christian education isn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And Bible colleges certainly aren't, but you know, it's a strange thing because we go and it seems like we learn a lot about doctrine and we learn about theology and we learn about all of those things and history and church history and all of these, and they're important, don't get me wrong, but nothing will replace a personal knowledge of God through your devotion to Him. It cannot be replaced. That means it should be personal. It should be complete. It should be all that God wants it to be, young people. And those of us who, as we think about going through this course of life, know God, the Bible says. Know Him. Know what it is that God wants from us. Now, we know Him through prayer, through God's Word, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I mean, as I get to know God, God begins to work in my life, and the Holy Spirit does the work. But notice something else He says in here. He says, know the God of David. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In the world tonight, we have a lot of gods. And that's not what God wants us to know. God is not interested in us knowing the God of Muhammad or the God of Buddha or the God of America, or the God of money, or the God of some starlight who worships some spirit guide, some inner guide. God wants us to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who we're to know. We're to know the God of the Bible. We're to know Him. And we can be familiar with Him if we're not careful, and that's all. But God says, no, I want you to know Him to the place where if someone knocks on your door and they're peddling something other than Jesus Christ, you'll know it right away. You see, this Jesus that we speak of is not that which would be some watered-down version of something they made in Oh God and all these other blasphemous movies and so on and so forth, you know. And some of you might not know, but in the 60s or 70s, they had this thing called Jesus Christ Superstar, and they said he was nothing more than a man. Let me tell you something. He was the God-man. We need to know him. Be familiar and be very deeply entwined with who he is. But then David says, Solomon, not only do you know God, but I want you to serve God. Serve the Lord. The idea of serving the Lord is the idea that we just, in our minds, we just say, I'm just going to serve you, Lord. I just, whatever you want me to do. And he says the manner of our serving is with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Good combinations. In other words, the perfect heart means that my heart is clean and right before God. And the Bible said that I'm willing with no reservation to do whatever God wants me to do. Young people, we're to do what God asks us to do. Sometimes we want to do something. God wants us to do something else. God should be able to have that right to tell us what he wants us to do. So we're to serve him. The reason why a lot of young people and millennials are quitting on God and leaving their church and not going back to church is because somewhere along the way they stopped knowing God. And then second of all, not only did they not know God, they didn't serve God. God says that that's what we're to do. That's how it is. That's what he wants of us. And then he gives the reason for that because he said the Lord searches the heart. And I said a lot about that this morning, but I'm not gonna dwell on it tonight, but I just want to say one thing. God is not interested so much in what you do, but who you are. You know, we get this idea, we put holiness on us. Our holiness is what we do. So, okay, we go to church, read our Bible, we pray, we do all these things. That doesn't make us holy. If you want to really look at, if you believe that, then you have to say the Pharisees were the holiest of the holies. But it's not what we do, it's what is who we are that God says he's looking for. What are you? Who are you? God knows. So here he says, secondly, that if I understand this correctly, number one, Solomon, son, and he's telling us before the whole world, at least in their mind, this is their whole world right here. All the military leaders and the generals and everybody, all the big shots and all the little shots, and they're all gathered together, the nobodies. And he said, Solomon, here's what I want you to do. Number one, to know God. Number two, serve God. Very powerful. But then there's one more advice I want to give you. And by the way, this advice is good for all of us. And to our graduates tonight, I just want you to realize how important this is. Number three is to obey the Lord. I mean, the rest of the chapter deals with that. What do? That means we seek the Lord. That involves a seeking. That means we seek no other. There's no other God. Man, I'm meditating on a passage. Can I share it with you tonight? I got to give it to you because this is so vitally important. Psalm 73, here's what it says. It says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. You know what he's saying? And this is Asaph, by the way. He's saying, you know what? There's nothing else in this life that is better than you, Lord. I just want to seek you. Lord, I want to know you, Lord. I want to serve you. And Lord, I want to obey you. And Lord, the reason why is because of how important you are in my life. Boys, we got to make God important. We need to seek him. That's what God wants. In verse 10 in that same passage here in Chronicles, we're to seek his will. One of the things that I think for all of us tonight is important is to seek God's will every day. And by the way, that seeking God's will is not some mystical thing that we can never get a hold of. It's that which we do every day. And I found something interesting about seeking God's will. I know it's God's will for me to be here as the pastor of the church. I've been here 22 and a half, almost 23 years. And I know it's God's will for me to be here. But every day I need to know what God's will is for my life. It's an everyday seeking of God's will. God, what is it that you want me to do today? God, what do you want me to do today? How can I best serve you? How can I best get the gospel to somebody? How can I best communicate the truth? God says it's every day. Every day. Three powerful truths. Three great lessons on advice. Know God. How well do you know him? Serve the Lord and obey the Lord. Good advice to any graduate, wouldn't you agree? Good advice to anyone embarking on something as important as being the next king of Israel. I mean, good advice to anyone who would follow King David, who for him, that he was a very powerful king. And he fought a lot of wars. He did a lot of great things. But Solomon, that's what you need. And Christian, that's what we need. Graduates, that's what we need. Whatever school you're in, even if you're 70, 80, some of you might be in the school of something else. Whatever your school is, your goal is to graduate. We graduate to do what God wants us to do. I pray that God will speak to your heart tonight. If you don't know Christ, you can know him tonight. It's not because you're a Baptist or you're a member of this church or any church for that matter. It has nothing to do with it. It's when we realize that we can't go to heaven on our own. We need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And it's not what we do. It's who we are. And I'm asking you if you're a believer. Are you a believer tonight? Do you know Christ? And then, as we take these thoughts with us, I pray that God would guide us as we take this graduate's advice and do what God says. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,